నమస్తే, సుస్వాగతం అండ్ వెల్కమ్ టు జ్ఞాన్ గంగా వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ ఆన్ అవర్ విరాట్ హిందుస్థాన్ సంఘం సోషల్ మీడియా ఛానల్స్. ఇట్ ఈస్ 8 PM ఇండియన్ స్టాండర్డ్ టైమ్ అండ్ వీఆర్ బ్యాక్ విత్ అవర్ రెగ్యులర్ షో. ఈస్ ద మోదీ గవర్నమెంట్ ఫారెన్ పాలసీ అ ఫెయిలియర్? దిస్ ఇస్ అవర్ ఎపిసోడ్ నంబర్ 215 అండ్ ఆర్ గెస్ట్ డాక్టర్ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం స్వామి అండ్ అవర్ ప్యానల్ ఫర్ ద నెక్స్ట్ 45 minutes విల్ బి డిస్కసింగ్ దిస్ ఇష్యూ. And I also wish to give our compliments of the Navratri season to our viewers across the globe. And we hope the coming year will be a great thing for all people who are watching our show. So with these words, without wasting much time, it is over to Dr. Subramaniam Swami to initiate the discussion on is the Modi government foreign policy a failure. Over to Dr. Swami and thank you.
Thank you very much, Jagdish. The question is, I am today going to criticize the Prime Minister and say that he has failed miserably in foreign policy. People will wonder how, being in the BJP, I can be taking this stand. But I want to tell you and repeatedly tell you that in every democracy, which is vibrant, there has always been critics within the party who have pointed out, and they've been vindicated later and then celebrated. For example, the classic example of Winston Churchill, who was a minister in the cabinet of Chamberlain, and Chamberlain wanted a peace treaty with Hitler, and he came out publicly, opposed it. It's a sellout, he called it. It's a boneless attitude. All this he said, and he was, of course, the public, some of them criticized him. But in the end, he was proved right. And then he was celebrated, and he was elevated to the position of Chamberlain, and he became the war prime minister. So in democracies, you have this, you have it in America, you have it in Europe. And I think about time, because I find that the opposition today in India is totally effete. It's not taking a stand on anything, and they are all terribly scared that some court case will be filed against them, something about disproportionate assets, etc. And so I think for the sake of democracy, I think we within the party have to take a stand, and so that people don't say tomorrow, oh, why didn't you speak at that time, why are you speaking now? We want to warn the public that there have been some major flaws in the policy making of Narendra Modi's government, and this should be brought to account. That's why I think today I am bringing this before the public. Now, I can go on speaking on it, but it doesn't mean that it will penetrate the mind of people in power. They may still continue to make these mistakes till the country suffers a lot, as we are now beginning to suffer on when we ignored the Chinese, when we got information about, in April of 2020, that China had come into our territory with troops and taken over land which belonged by mutual agreement in 1996 as belonged to India. And they had taken it over, and it was hushed up. And even today, what the Chinese have grabbed in India, whether it is in Galwan, now they have retaken Galwan, Depsang, even in the in the mountains in the southern region, they have taken it over. So I think these are not coming out in the public, and that's why I think this program has become very, very important for the public to get an alternative point of view. Now, I would like to begin by quoting Lord Krishna himself. He, before the battle, when Arjuna had so many doubts, he went on explaining what needs to be done, what perspective he should have, and so on. And in the end, right at the end of the 18th chapter of the Gita, you can see it. He said to Arjuna, after he had told him everything, he said, and this is the shloka of number 63 on page in chapter 18, the last chapter. He said, thus the knowledge that is more secret than any secret was told by me to you. However, he says, considering this thoroughly, you may do just as you wish. In other words, he's left it to him. So saying that I've told you everything I know and all the secrets, all the facts, etc. And having said it, now it is you for who has to decide. The same way with the public of India, I would say, I'm not Krishna, but I'm just repeating what Krishna did, that we go on in these programs of putting it out. And it is our duty to put it across. If you don't want to listen, well, you are going to suffer. So it's up to you. So I say to the public that what we are telling the public today, and we have been telling before, and will be telling again in the future, that will be something which they will have to decide whether they want to act on it or just, just keep quiet as it happened during the state of emergency. So I will, starting with that, let me add that the real question, the topic today was in the form of a question. Is the Modi government foreign policy a failure? And putting it positively, I'll say the failure has taken place. And when we look at the stated objectives are not achieved, then obviously we have to conclude the failure has taken place. So what are these objectives? What was stated and what happened? I will develop in this during the course of this talk to the people who are listening to us in this program. Now, first of all, I'd like to say that any policy has four parts. I'm not going to go into each part and explain, etc., but let me just state it and say what I'm going to focus on in this program. We can have other programs for the other section. Any policy has four parts. One is, what are the objectives you are trying to seek? This is point number one. Two, amongst those objectives, what are your priorities? Which you are going to do first, which you are going to second, etc. Because you can have many objectives. And so you have to tell the people who are going to implement it, or your colleagues, or the cabinet, or the newspapers, whatever. You have to explain to them which are the objectives and which you are going to give priority to, is priority number one, priority number two, etc. So this is the second part. The third part would be, what is the strategy you're going to adopt to see that these objectives are achieved? And there you have to list it. That has not been done today. In India, Jawaharlal Nehru just kept saying Hindi Chini, bye-bye, and we ended up with the Chinese coming down, kicking you down the hills of Arunachal. And all that he said is farewell, my friends of India, the Chinese. Instead of saying that we're going to drive the Chinese out, he had completely broken down. And we have seen this in many other occasions also. Lal Bahadur Shastri took a stand, but then he was forced to call a ceasefire. Then he went to Moscow. God knows what happened to him. He seemed to have been poisoned there. He came back and he died. And in the case of Kargil also, we should have driven the Chinese out, Pakistanis out all the way down into Azad Kashmir, but we didn't do it. After they vacated Kargil, we called a ceasefire and celebrated and had a midterm poll to win that. So I would therefore urge you to say that it's very important that when we are talking, we must be very clear there is something called objectives, and you must list them fully. And then you must say what are the priorities, which you would like to take first, which you would like to take second. And then the strategy you are going to adopt for each of those objectives. And finally, of course, there will be costs involved and so on. So you have to prepare a budget, but that's a routine I will not make say anything. Now, in order to know what are the foreign policy objectives, I say, has anyone presented this? And I was very surprised many years ago when I was told that the Constitution of India has laid down in Article 51 what the objectives of foreign policy should be. Of course, it's very generally stated. It's not specific, but still, it's given you a format. It's given you a boundary, and it's something that you should know. As this is in the Constitution, Article 51, not 56, but Article 51. It says the state shall endeavor to promote international peace and security. Yes, this is agreed. This it shouldn't be all the time looking for war. Two, maintain just and honorable relations between nations. That means don't do secret agreements like you did in we have been doing with Russia. This Russian oil, by the way, they made us buy it by saying that, okay, you can pay rupees. And now they're saying, no, we can't accept rupees. What are you going to do? You're going to stop the oil? And then you are selling that oil to other countries. So that also has got to stop. I mean, you're in a royal mess. So therefore, when they say that what you should do is maintain just and honorable relations between nations, don't engage in underhand things like Modi has done with China, is done with Russia, and these two nations are not going to be our friends unless we become their satellites. And therefore, to have reached an agreement with them in this clandestine way is something that is very dangerous. The third thing which these constitution says is foster respect for international law and treaty obligations in the dealings of organized peoples with one another. And that's, of course, extremely important that if you have an agreement, you must enforce it. We have an agreement on Indus Valley, but we are not enforcing it. We have an agreement on Kashmir, and one agreement is with the Raja, whom we agreed that you can merge Kashmir into India, and we will look after you. But instead of that, Jawaharlal Nehru went to the United Nations, and the United Nations then began to say, no, no, this is a dispute and so on. Of course, part of Pakistan didn't agree to any of the items of the dispute, and therefore the whole thing became a dead letter. But even today, the Pakistanis will say, oh, UN is there, UN resolution. What UN resolution? It's all finished. And we should categorically say that henceforth there's nothing to talk. The whole of Kashmir is ours, and the so-called Azad Kashmir, which the Pakistanis use for discussing all the areas of Kashmir which they have occupied, we are not taking any steps to take it back. This is, you may not be able to take it back today because you're not prepared, but at least you start preparing. So this is the third thing. And finally, the fourth thing, it says encourage settlement of international disputes by arbitration. There was an international dispute, but we settled it for instance on the water issue. In the water issue, we settled it, but it was settled in the favor of Pakistan. We have settled with China during the period when Jawaharlal Nehru was there in 1950, when he agreed that the China can take over Tibet. Under what reason, rule, under what agreement did Nehru agree to China taking over Tibet? Even then, Sardar Patel wrote to him and said that, you know, if you want to hand over Tibet, which is very, very unfair, it's very sad and sorry, but he said, at least tell them that the McMahon line, which the Tibetans representatives agreed with India, that will be honored. Even that Jawaharlal Nehru didn't do. And ultimately, when the time came for China, they immediately said, this is an illegal line. This is a case of imperialism imposed on us. We won't agree, which is a lie, by the way, because with Burma, where the McMahon line was extended at that time, because Burma was part of India, the Chinese have fully accepted the McMahon line with Burma, or what we call as Myanmar today. So therefore, we should have insisted. We haven't insisted. So therefore, this is a disease that has been coming on, but that doesn't mean the BJP party should be like Nehru, saying one thing and doing another, or backing off in fear. So I would begin by saying that we must, first of all, ask the Prime Minister, you follow the Constitution. And I think the party should say that if you're going to be Prime Minister of India, you have to follow the Constitution. And if there's anything that you can't follow just now, you say this time period, I can't do it, I can do it later. So this is the first way we have failed. He has failed to live by the constitutional requirements. The second thing is that we should understand that our priority in policy, foreign policy, should be our neighbors. You have good neighborhood, then you can go think in terms of going abroad to South Africa, to China, to Russia, to America, all these places. But every one of our neighbor today is not with you. Nepal is not with you. They have now an extensive presence of China in their country. And they say that, well, you see, China delivers what it says and we are going to continue. This is one matter. Second, take Bhutan. Bhutan was still, yesterday was almost like a part of India. I mean, the way they behaved, the way they had, no rules about crossing, passport, anything. And now they have said, sorry, we have to oblige the Chinese, and therefore we have to put restrictions on you. So that is having there. Bangladesh, same issue. Burma, of course, I already said. Myanmar, I've already said. And Sri Lanka, fortunately, because of my long-term support and friendship with Rajapaksas, they have tried to balance it. But even then, when we couldn't help them, they said, please let us take Chinese help. For example, Hamantota, everybody criticizes them. Why did they give to China? Well, when they first offered to us, we said no. That is the UPA government said no, we won't do it. Then when we came to power also, we said no, we will not take it over. So it became they required for a modern harbor, and the Chinese were ready to build. And the Chinese method is this way, that you first make it very easy, give loans with very low interest rate, and then once you become a debtor, then start squeezing. And the Chinese are now squeezing the Sri Lankans. Now, Maldives, same thing has happened. They've told openly, we have nothing to do with India anymore. And the Indian army, which was posted there when there was a coup and Rajiv Gandhi's time, and at my suggestion, Rajiv Gandhi sent the army and removed the coup people who were carrying out the coup. And as a consequence, the government there survived. And then they've been friendly, very friendly with us till The other day when the election took place, the new party that came to power said, we have nothing to do with India. We have nothing in common with India. They're all Indians originally. And we are now going with China. And it's not reported in the newspapers because our newspapers all become pussycats ever since Modi became prime minister. So therefore, this is another major failure. So I can go on. Even in the case of Israel, where Mr. Modi in the beginning said, oh, we are with Israel. The next few days, he got bamboos from Muslim countries. And what did he do? He said, no, we are giving help to Hamas and the Palestinians and all that who are suffering. And then we are also, the External Affairs Ministry gave a statement saying that we are committed to an independent Palestine. There's no independent Palestine just now. It's just an administrative organization set up by the United Nations and by agreement. And he said that further when we discuss and come to an understanding, then we can have a country called Palestine. But at the moment, there's no Palestine country. And it's just a kind of an area which is administered by Palestinians under UN surveillance. So there too, we have completely watered it down. And they don't understand. We are being criticized today. Yesterday, the United States, the President of the United States had declared that United States, Canada, France, Germany, 8-9 countries, they will together help Israelis to be able to establish law and order help in eliminating the Hamas, who have butchered so many Jews mercilessly, particularly women and children. But they have left India out. And the question was asked. They said, well, India has certain differences in our policy, therefore Indians cannot be included. We should have been there, and we are not there. So this is another major failure. And this failure has come because of the fact that we have not had any clear policy. We have became member of the U.S. A committee was formed by the U.S. of Japan and Korea and India and United States. Committee, India said, no, now we'll only talk on the weather and so on and so forth, on the environment issues, but we are not going to talk about military issues. So here too, you have had a situation where you are now backed off from the Americans, and the Americans say we are not serious about anything, and we seem to be more afraid of Russia and China. China is something that I want to come towards the end, and before we hand it over for we start the discussions. China has, I'm not talking about the Jawaharlal Nehru period. I'm talking about what happened when Narasimha Rao was there, and I was involved in helping Narasimha Rao to come to a conclusion. We had said that we have claims on territory which you have occupied. You say that you have claims on our territory, which has never been part of China, but you say it's there. Let's draw a line called the line of control, line of actual control or something. And that LAC, we will not cross. Either of us will not cross. We will not send the military across it. Now, after Modi came to office, the Chinese have started. They were crossing it in Congress time, but in small bits here and there. But after Modi came to office, the Chinese have been crossing regularly while Modi was having one-to-one discussion with sometimes dressed in veshti, sometimes dressed in churidar, etc., It was a big natak that was being put out with Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping bore it, but I am told by people who know China well that Xi Jinping was assessing what kind of a man Mr. Modi is and how will he be in the negotiations, and came to the conclusion that he will probably go along with everything the Chinese wanted, which is what has happened. Today, I have to go to the High Court of Delhi to file a petition to find out if the Chinese have occupied any territory of India beyond what was agreed to as a line of actual control, and if so, how much. And because I filed an RTI application, they did not answer. Then we went to an appeal. That was not answered. Then we went to some commission, whatever it is, final. They did not answer. I filed it in Parliament. And Rajnath said, this is a matter which cannot be discussed in Parliament. How can the Chinese occupation of Indian territory not be discussed in Parliament? I mean, I can understand if I asked what part of our military has now crossed into China. That I can understand. You want to keep that a secret. But you cannot say that you can't discuss how much territory of India China has occupied. So we have a situation here that in everything, every sector, we have failed to be we are supposed to be the most populous country in the world. We have failed to be of any significance. Only in this Mela of G20 and all that, and that too also is now over by November, the South Africans will take it over. All this Mela's type, Mr. Modi has done. But in terms of concrete things where we have to settle, we can't even settle with Canada. Canada has no army, and yet we are fighting with the Canadians. With so many Indians there, they all want to go and study there, they're living there, they're working there, and they are all writing letters to me saying that please do something about it. We are in a very tight spot here, and so on. Now, just because crazy Khalistanis are there in Canada, that cannot change your policy towards Canada. Even if the Canadians were being lenient to them, this is something which we can discuss. But now we are not even discussing with them. It's all reached a stage where the Americans are totally supporting the Canadians. The Australians are supporting the Canadians. And the British are supporting the Canadians. We are totally isolated. And why? For what? Somebody was shot dead there, and Canadians thought that some Indian RAW people did it, or some Indian officials in the embassy who were disguised, or were RAW people disguised, they did it. Okay, you produce proof and then we'll go on with it. You can't make that as the main issue of your policy with Canada, which is multidimensional. So that is why, and I want to tell you that we know that the Air India plane was blown out of the sky, and so many people, 350 people died instantly because two Sikhs, planted a bomb in it. Now, all through, including Vajpayee's time, we never raised this issue and said, no, we'll cancel our diplomatic relations with you, or we will reduce your embassy to some small thing. But here, one person who we don't know who did what, because we have no papers. If the Canadians think that we have done it, then they should give us the papers. And you should say, please give us the papers, then we'll have a discussion. You don't say that at all. You have been extremely abusive. So you have lost the Canadians, who have been our friends for a long time. So in totality, he's been a disastrous failure, and he has no excuse, because we have never been a country who didn't stand on its own feet. But today we find that we are they are subject to the Chinese influence, the Russian influence, and pick a fight with small countries or ineffective countries or non-military countries. So I would say there's been a major failure of Modi's government in foreign policy. Thank you very much.
Dr. Swami.
Yes.
Some of our viewers want to know, is it the India policy on Ukraine-Russia issue also is a failure of Modi's government, or you think that has been a very successful thing as Ukraine-Russia war?
Well, anyone who has read what I've written op-eds in various newspapers, including the Hindu, know that I have been highly critical of, I didn't bring in because of the time factor, because it's an ongoing matter. Russia has invaded a United Nations member country called Ukraine and occupied its territories. You can retaliate it for that, because if they are not retaliated, Russia would have gone and taken over the whole country and annexed it, which was their objective. So Russia is guilty of violating all sections of the United Nations Charter. And therefore, it should stand condemned. All that India has done is beg the Russians to allow us to go and the Ukrainians to allow and take the Indian students there and bring them back. We seem to be eternally refugee lifters as a policy, instead of standing firm. What I'm saying is, you stand firm and say that you have violated the sovereignty of a country which is recognized in the United Nations. If you have a problem, some problem, you tell us what is the problem. What is the problem? What is the objection of the Russians to Ukraine? What is it that they have done? Have they crossed into Russia? Have they done some, hanged a few Russians? What have they done? Nothing. It's just the greed of Putin to take over territory. And hence, I think, I didn't say it because it takes a little time, but I am very clear that India has been disgraced by taking the Soviet stand there. We have not been neutral. We have taken the Soviet stand that, this matter should be settled by discussion, which is what Putin also said, ready for discussion. You see, you're sitting on the chest of these people and then saying, I want to discuss. Well, how can you discuss? You first get out and go back to your country, and then we can have discussion. So that is the position on Ukraine.
Arvind, you can take the next
question. That is basically, India has gained in one way. They can argue, the government can argue, that they are getting cheaper oil now from Russia. And the share of Indian import, which is coming from Russia, is increasing over a period of time.
Not anymore. You are out of date by 2 days. Please go back and read the newspapers of 2 days. The Russians have said no more. We are going to give you on Indian rupees.
For that reason, even during the G20, they did not even mention Russia aggression to Ukraine. They did not even mention. Yes. And in the name the consultation, wider consultation, and in the name of reconciliation and so many things, so many different words they use. But as you said, I agree with you that in this conflict, Russia-Ukraine conflict, though the claimed policy is that we are neutral, we are actually not neutral, and Ukraine also knows that we are not neutral.
Yeah, we are tilted to the Russians. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a shame, because it's a violation of every decency in international affairs, to occupy a country which hasn't attacked you, has never taken a stand against you. They have been running a democracy, they hold elections, and you go and go to that country. And we have taken a stand in the BRICS resolution that we object to any country violating the sovereignty of any country which is independent. Now, I mean, you have done exactly that. And we can't be beggars that just because they're giving us some oil, therefore you can let them murder, butcher innocent people. I mean, it sounds like something. If I can give you another example, it will be too graphic, so I won't give it to you. But when I meet you, I'll tell you. It is very similar to someone saying that, well, you know, I get paid for it, but, you know, I have to do X, Y, Z work, which which I don't want to mention here.
No, sir, the Indian government has been claiming. You see, now we have Jai Shankar as the foreign minister, who was also a foreign secretary for a number of years before he became foreign minister. That means there is some kind of contamination, and Modi has left the entire foreign policy to Mr. Jai Shankar. And what Jai Shankar has been claiming, or the party has been claiming, or the government has been claiming, ki India ka image puri duniya mein bahut bada ho gaya hai. India is being heard. India has got a global voice now. And the image of India as a country, or a powerful country, or a mediating country, has gone up in the world.
Has India's voice been heard on Canada?
Yes.
I'll give you one example.
Yes.
Not at all. I mean, I can give you a series of. Why should I be saying, you know, that India has, just by saying that we have this reputation, we have that reputation? Where's the reputation? On China, nobody has condemned China. They have come and occupied our territory. And one of the things they do say is that you don't condemn China, why we should condemn China?
Right.
Ask Mr. Modi to say that the Chinese have not come into even 1 inch of Indian territory since the 1996 agreement. I will expose him as having told a lie. They have come here and occupied more than 4,600 square kilometers of Indian land, you see, and which land was not disputed.
Dr. Swami, when you asked this question in Parliament also as a member of Rajya Sabha, they did not answer and they gave excuses. Then you had gone to court. Now, maybe it will be relevant for our viewers to know that what has happened in the court.
Yeah, see, first, before going to the court, I had to show that I have some papers in this regard. So I went for the, RTI. RTI.
RTI.
And the procedure there, they did not reply. They, even beyond the time that has been fixed for them. And so I went in appeal, and then I went in the highest appeal. And none of them wanted to answer. Privately, they told me that we are afraid to tell you anything because we haven't been given this data. They've been told, no, under no circumstances we'll give you this data. And it has long been in many, many other previous cases when we are talking about Pakistan's incursion into Kashmir and all. RTI explanation used to be given as to how much land they've occupied and so on. But here they are not giving. So, therefore, I have gone to the High Court. In the High Court, I went only after clearing all the process so the High Court doesn't say, why have you come straight to us? Therefore, please tell everybody that I filed it. We had one hearing. And very soon after the vacations are over, this is Diwali and all that, the matter will be taken up. I don't give up anything, you know that.
Yeah. And the government of India claims one head of the state calls Prime Minister Modi a boss. You are the boss. One Prime Minister touches his feet. One Prime Minister hugs him. You know, these are the kind of claims which are being made as success of the foreign policy.
You go to America, almost everybody will call you boss. Boss, you got an American Indian sitting here. Isn't that boss is a commonly used word to even for people who are not bosses? So, how can you take pleasure in that?
Yes, sir. But you have to understand the American psyche, sir. What's in it for us? We want, we always get something when we say something. Can you hear me, sir? Can you hear me?
I hear you, but you have to explain.
explain
this. Okay, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
I had a question. There is a slight delay, but anyway, I will say that. One thing that, yes, Arvindji, you said, India's stature has gone up in international. I don't know what stature you're talking about, first of all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'll tell you my reasons. You want to go, say, broker peace in the world and say, oh, don't do this, don't occupy his territory. What about your backyard? You don't have the guts to say to the person who has occupied 4,000 plus square kilometers of your own backyard to get away. And you are humiliated by Xi Jinping in a meeting. You run behind him. So what stature you're talking about, I don't know. Okay, I really don't know what stature you're... In another meeting in South Africa, in Johannesburg, you are just standing next to him in a sofa. Like what? I mean, why do you have this mentality? And how do you say that our stature has gone up? In what way? And coming to one point, Arvindji, about this waiter. This waiter is a bureaucrat. He can only do bureaucratic things. I'm telling you, I am sorry to say, he just goes around, gives lies, glib talk in English. At the end of the day, what have we achieved is the issue. You can talk nicely. At the end of the day, if the output is not there, where is the output? You got humiliated. Russia sent their S-400s instead of India, they sent it to China.
Yes.
This same guy, Jay Shankar, talked about, oh, we have such great relationship. When we order today, tomorrow, like Amazon, they will deliver S-400. They did not deliver.
Yeah.
After we paid, what are in advance?
He is now going out and saying, maybe they have some difficulty, maybe they have some other problem. Why are you justifying them? You gave them a contract. You paid the money up front. You still don't have the goods. So in all these aspects, I agree with Dr. Swami, is when you have a foreign policy, complete failure, I tell you, if you have a foreign policy, what is the policy that they have? Sitting on the fence. You know what happens when you sit on the fence for too long? Physically, go imagine. Sitting on a fence. It's not going to be pleasant sitting on the fence. So yeah, India's policy is always sit on the fence. Oh, we will also support this. We will also support. What is this concept? Then they call this non-aligned. One thing you have to America is, for all said and done, you in dealing with America is very clear. It's a business. America, there is nothing called, oh, we will do some generosity. There is nothing called generosity when you're dealing with the West. What's in it for me? Immediately, your brain, being a Gujarati, he should have this in his blood, saying, what's in it for me too? Which is not being shown. That is why I think it is a failure. If he has the capability to say, I can also negotiate something, what has he negotiated from the West? You please tell me, in the past 10 years, what has he negotiated that has gained India something from the West? When he went to China and said, yeah, we will establish a Chinese school in Gujarat when he was the chief minister of Gujarat, what did he get? He get backstabbed 4,000 kilometers of line. He goes to Russia and say, bye-bye, Russia, Chini, Russia, India, bye-bye. He got backstabbed in the S-400 case. He said, oh, we are getting cheap oil. Now what happened? That is not there anymore. You can't constantly keep groveling around. And now what he'll do, he'll now go to the Middle East. Oh, MBS is a great person. And then go run around, see if he can get oil. This is not how foreign policy is to be done, in my personal opinion. That's why I wanted to convey. Sorry, Dr. Swami. I just wanted to convey. It is just a fact as to what I want to lay, and that is what I want to put.
No, I want to add something with to Arvind saying about this cheaper oil from Russia. But our viewers want to know, if we got cheaper oil, then why was the retail in the oil was not cheaper?
Yes, why was it?
What's the cheaper oil? Then we Indians in the petrol pump should have got the oil cheaper. Many of our viewers are asking that if the oil had come, or was it cheaper oil, or was it meant for some selected people who got the oil and sent it abroad, refined it and sent it abroad. So ultimately, our people did not get the cheap oil in the retail. Whoever got it or pocketed it, we don't know. There also some scam will be there, protecting some crony business group.
Correct.
Dr. Swami, very pertinent question here. Sorry, after you finish Jagdish's answer, this is also another question.
Yeah. No, there's a question that has been asked, is how do you explain U.S. siding with Canada over the latter stand vis-a-vis India? How do I say it? They care a damn for India. It's just Modi who has to explain. You've been screaming, saying, no, no, we didn't kill that man and all that, and saying all kinds of awful things on Canada. But the not only Americans, almost all the Europeans have also stood with the Canadians. And we have not been able to do anything. And we say, no, no, remove all the officers of the embassy. That means no one is going to get visas, because who is there to give them visas for the students and so many other people? There's a lot of business enterprise between India and Canada at the private level. So all these are things which are, you know, they just show bravado. And I would say that in any time there is a threat from any of the countries, Mr. Modi and his government backs off. Take, for instance, on this Israel Hamas thing. In the beginning, we when the people were butchered, killed in Israel, we made a statement in favor of Israel. But now we are saying, no, 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 there is an overall picture. We are committed to Hamas getting a country and so on. So we voted in the UN also, by the way, for Hamas. And the what is this? I heard of the Panchatantra talking about the bats trying to be on both sides and ended up with being on neither side, and both sides decided to pounce on the bat in the end. That's what's going to happen to us.
Dr. Swami, another point, even in Qatar, I think when our Navy men or some sailors, they're still stuck there. What is your foreign policy? Why is it such a small country? What are you afraid of? Oh, we won't get gas. At what point in time we are not going to grovel? If you are not able to show your might to a country like Qatar, what are you going to do? Where are you going to show your might to Lalang? How will you show your Lalang to China? Which he claimed that he will do Lalang. He will show his Lalang to China in campaign in 2014.
But then he saw the Chinese flag and it was Lal, so he did not do it. So anyway.
So all this foreign policy is all good. Go ahead.
Dr. Swami, one of our viewers is saying that the media in India, although the media in America did not do, the media in India and also all the Andhbaks and Gandhbaks, when Modi went to US and went to Washington and addressed their house there, that is their elected representative, there was big... event in our Indian media saying that how is India recognized, how Modi is a world leader. And the same America or the United States doesn't stand with your stand on Canada. So what is the use? Anybody who goes as a speaker there gets photographs and autographs and all that. That means it is only that. Your influence should be that when you are there, you speak, people are impressed with you, your stand. But when it comes to policies, the next day, America is not with you, or the other world countries are not with you. Isn't it laughable, for especially all the media hype that happens?
No, let me tell you about this joint session of the House in America. It was Manmohan Singh also addressed it. Narasimha Rao also addressed it. There are most of the prime ministers who are there for more than, and I'm also telling you that Chandrasekhar was invited to address it, but his government fell before we could go. So it is a common thing that a country like India, which is a member of the United Nations, is a big country, and there are lots of Indians in that country. They have their ways of selecting figure, but every Indian prime minister has been invited to address it. And so to say that Modi was given a special thing, the absolute lie and or complete ignorance.
Also, Dr. Swami, when Modi went to South Africa for the summit, some low-level person came to invite him first at the tarmac. He started throwing tantrums sitting inside the plane. But when Xi Jinping came, the president went.
That's right.
A country like South Africa, which is nothing right. compared to India, is mistreating India. So this is your texture in the global world, Arvindji. So how do you think India is a big force to reckon with? I don't think so. People in Bangladesh, I don't think they respect India. So it is more of a show rather than action. That's what India needs to prove. Because
the latest example is Maldives. They have said we all have nothing to do with India. And we are given orders for all the Indian troops who have been here for our peacekeeping to get out immediately and go back to India. Just after they took office.
Elections. Yeah, the new elections.
See, and not a word from India.
Dr. Swami, one of the viewers has this question to you, which is on the screen. Please share some advice, suggestion to our external affairs minister from your experience.
Well, my external affairs minister only does what the PMO tells him to do. He has no independent existence. He has no roots in this country's politics. And what he says is mostly all something on which later on a commission inquiry can easily summon him for the things he has said about Chinese occupation of Ladakh. He has denied that they have done it at all. They said they have not even crossed the LAC. They are at the LAC. All these lies he has told. One of these days when he is no more minister, he will be subject to being summoned by some commission and probably prosecuted.
Dr. Swami, I would like you to say something about the international platforms which India has been using or creating, especially the confrontation between or conflict between Quad and BRICS. That is one. And second thing, what has happened to the platform which were available to you in, let's say, South Asia, for example, SAARC? What has happened to the SAARC? Where is SAARC? Where are we vis-a-vis SAARC countries? And what's happening on this? Do you think this is also one of the dimension of the failure?
SAARC, I know what has happened because the Nepalese told me. They have said very clearly that they are not in a mood for a conference. The same thing, the Sri Lankans are much more diplomatic, but they're not very keen on it. So Bangladesh is also not keen. So there's nobody who is showing any enthusiasm for SAARC. And of course, Maldives is now literally walked out of it. So SAARC is as good as, a dead letter, so to speak. Now, as far as BRICS is concerned, you all know that Modi had wanted me to go and become president of the BRICS Bank. And I told him at that time, and this is, I'm talking about 2015. I told him at that time that there was a national executive meeting of which I was a member at that time. And at tea time, I met Modi and told him that, listen, I can't go because the Chinese intentions are very, very bad. And it's only a question of time before they will change the BRICS to include so many countries that India becomes unimportant. And now the Chinese have decided to include 16 countries in the BRICS. And the BRICS chairmanship, of course, they pay very well and all that, but I declined to go. I knew from that time itself, and I told him also that the Chinese are going to turn against you. He just laughed it off. He said, no, we have such good meeting. I asked one question to all of the people who are pro the Modi or pro government. Please ask, why don't you get me the record of the discussion of 17 meetings that took place one-to-one between Modi and Xi Jinping. There's a record. I know that because the Chinese have a record which they are circulating amongst their scholars. Why is it that Mr. Modi's record of it? Because after all, with Xi Jinping, he has to have a translator also. And therefore, there's a record. Why is it that this record has not been made public and placed on the table of the House in Parliament? What did you discuss for 17 meetings and then find that suddenly the Chinese have come and occupied your country? They had occupied it earlier here and there, but in our time, they have occupied parts of Ladakh, which they had never before occupied, starting with the Depsang, you see. And now it's going all the way down to Chushul and other places. And it's only a question of time before Ladakh is taken over.
At the same time, Dr. Swami, when you asked a very simple RTI question, as you mentioned in the beginning, just tell if they have occupied or not. They are not ready to say whether they have occupied or not, how much they have occupied. These are simple things, but if they are afraid to disclose, then there is something that they want to hide and they don't want to admit.
The Chinese know how much they have occupied. So what is the secret here? I can understand if the Indian army has gone into some movement, and I'm asking about the movement, they don't want it because they don't want the Chinese to know. But here, where is the thing? The Chinese are the ones who did it. They know where they have occupied it. And you say, no, it is something that we cannot disclose. So this is the foreign policy that has come to. It's all Mr. Modi and his foreign travel. As somebody in our audience has tweeted that it is not foreign policy, but foreign travel that is important for Modi. So that's exactly what it is.
Okay, Dr. Now, one last question about Hamas and Israel. In the beginning, of course, the Indian government supported Israel, saying that, you know, we want to finish the terrorism and all that. But yesterday there was a statement that we are going to give some kind of help in the name of humanity to the Gaza. Now, is it to balance what they have said earlier, or is it to balance the Indian vote bank? They want to appease some Muslims.
No. Indian vote bank, at least particularly Hindus of India, they must be 90% in support of the Israelis. They've always been. And Israel has helped you so much. I'm not asking anything more than saying that the Hamas was the one who started the war. Hamas is the one who carried away the women and children. And in fact, they beheaded the children where they captured them. They raped the housewives in front of their children. So all these things have been documented today. And now the Chinese retaliate, the Israelis retaliate. How can you scream? You can say, okay, the war should be brought to an end. Then ask the Palestinians to disown Hamas. See, the West Bank is Hamas, yes. The West Bank, there's no Hamas, what the name. It's only in Gaza.
PLA.
It's a PLA. Yeah, the Yasser
Arafat. PLA.
Yeah, PLA. Whereas in
Gaza, this,
the Gaza, these people are in Gaza, a very small area. So why are we, we have to say to the Hamas, you apologize for what you have done. And you say that what you did wrong, and all those people who are involved in it, because you will hand them over to the, if not to the Israeli police, but you'll hand it over, say, to some other neutral things like the United Nations organization, and say, prosecute them for rape and killing of children. None of that has been done. And all has started bleeding for what is happening there. Now, what is Israel supposed to do? They're supposed to go and clear Gaza. When the Hamas people have deliberately sat before them, the people of Gaza should tell them, get out. Otherwise, we'll all be killed along with you. But the Gaza people are not taking that stand. So naturally, when you start targeting where the Hamas people are hiding, the others will get killed also. That happens in every war. You think that in World War II, whole of Europe, the ordinary citizens were not killed. They're killed in very large numbers.
Dr. Swami, I just want to share one screen. This is the latest news that's breaking out. That UK is now slowing down on its plans to sign the India trade deal.
There you are. The process has begun. And yeah, so he can
breaking. How far it's true, I don't know. But again, this is breaking news that Rishi Sunak is now planning to go slow on the India trade deal.
That's right.
And 10 days ago, everybody was tom-tomming this, saying that, oh, India did a great thing. We did a great deal. But now they're cooling it down.
Yes.
Anyway, Arvind, please complete it. I just saw this come across. So I just thought I'll immediately share.
We have crossed the time. Yeah.
Yes,
Arvind.
Yeah, I think we thought this topic will be over in 45 minutes. It's almost an hour now. And in fact, in Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga program with Dr. Subramanian Swamy, this is to viewers. Viewers, we have been discussing the policies of the BJP government, Modi government, and foreign policy is one of the most important component of the government's policies. And therefore, it was very important for us to discuss today. Though only in the recent past, we have discussed this Israel-Hamas conflict and even G20 and maybe we have also discussed about China issue. But in totality, to look have a look and examine the foreign policy, it was important. Therefore, thank you, Dr. Swamy, for bringing a integrated perspective on the India's foreign policy and showing with evidence that Modi government has failed in all the fronts, starting from our neighbors, be it Pakistan, Nepal, Bhutan, Maldives, Sri Lanka. Atal Bihari Vajpayee used to say that we cannot choose our neighbors, but if we cannot choose our neighbors, at least we can have a policy which can be to have a coexistence with our neighbors. But Modi government has failed even to live in peace with our neighbors. You have given several times the warning about China, Russia, and so many other angles of the foreign policy. Therefore, this was very pertinent to discuss it today. And thank you, Dr. Swamy, for bringing this novel perspective. Thanks, Ramesh. And thanks, Jagdish, also. We also thank our technical team. We have now led into 215 episodes of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga. So we thank the viewers also for consistently supporting us. Thank you. Thanks the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Swaminathan, Tejas Navalgul, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Vishal Mehta, Najesh Nair. Next Sunday, we'll be meeting with Dr. Subramanian Swamy in the 216th episode of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga, with a new topic. Till then, viewers, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind. Dhanyavaad.